Part of President Trump's success with Israel and Hamas was that he applied pressure to all sides. Does President Trump need to get tougher with President Putin?
Yes, and even more, because Putin is something similar, but more strong than Hamas. It's more bigger war, and he is the second army in the world, and that's why more pressure.
This is my video update on this Monday midday, October the 20th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news, and let's start things off with the brazen daytime robbery that took place at the Louvre Museum. A whole bunch of Napoleon's jewels were stolen yesterday. Where was little Napoleon yesterday? Where was he? Oh man, 7 minutes is all that was needed to steal Napoleon's jewelries from the Paris Museum. In just 7 brazen minutes, thieves grabbed priceless jewels from the Louvre. The robbers employed a portable electric ladder to break into the second floor wing of the Paris Museum that holds the French crown jewels. 9 pieces of Napoleon's and his empress's jewelry were stolen. 9 pieces, including a necklace, a tiara, a brooch. In just 7 minutes, these jewels were stolen. The thieves, they smashed windows, used a cherry picker to reach the targeted Apollo Gallery. Some even wore staff uniforms. A 7-minute heist. The footage shows masked men opening the displays while visitors were still walking nearby. People were still walking by the display as these thieves were stealing the jewelry. Napoleon's jewelry. Here's the mystery to all of this. The thieves, they did not take the largest diamond, 140 carat, the Regent. That remained untouched for unknown reasons. They just left that 140 carat diamond right there. They did not take this Regent, the Regent diamond. Why did they not take the Regent diamond? Probably impossible to move, huh? If you stole a 140 carat diamond, I imagine it would be impossible to sell. Then again, how do you move Napoleon's jewelry? You would imagine that the thieves must already have a buyer lined up, right, for Napoleon's jewelry. Maybe it's easier to move those pieces than a 140 carat diamond. Anyway, a big robbery yesterday in France. The museum was closed for the day as they try to figure out what happened. How did this happen? How did this happen? Not what happened. How did this happen? So the Financial Times, they put out an article on the Trump-Zelensky meeting. And this is very much in line with the Washington Post's article that they published on the Trump-Putin phone call. It's almost like a follow-up to the Trump-Putin phone call that the Washington Post published, where they claim that Putin demanded that Ukraine leave Donetsk, and in exchange for that, he would not press further in Zaporozhye and Kherson, and this was his offer to Trump. And then Witkoff told Alensky to just give up Donetsk. They speak Russian anyway, Witkoff said, and Alensky resisted. Anyway, you had that article yesterday from the WAPO, and now you have the Financial Times following up on the Trump-Putin phone call with the Trump-Alensky meeting. And the Trump-Putin phone call article from the Washington Post cited a European diplomat that was their source for the Washington Post. And this Financial Times article is citing as their sources European officials. So right there, you can see that the Europeans are talking a lot to the media. Now, how would the Europeans know what's going on in a White House phone call? And how would the Europeans know what was going on during the meeting between Trump and Alensky? They don't. They don't know what's going on. They're either making stuff up or someone in on Alensky's team, or someone in the White House, but more likely someone on Alensky's team is calling up the Europeans and telling them what's happening or what they would like them to leak to the media, right? The narrative that they would like the Europeans to leak to the media. Something like that is going on. But you have the Europeans now being used as references for collective West media articles, which have one purpose and only one purpose, to sabotage and derail the upcoming talks that are going to be taking place in Budapest, Hungary, between Trump and Putin, with Orbán hosting and mediating. So the Financial Times, they published their sabotage piece yesterday with the title, Trump Urged Zelensky to accept Putin's terms or be destroyed by Russia. U.S. President tossed aside maps of Ukraine frontline in volatile White House meeting. And the Financial Times has a photo of the Green Goblin looking very, very distraught, very, very sad. Poor Zelensky. Trump did it again. Zelensky went to the White House with optimism that he would get money and weapons to defeat the bad Russians. And just like what happened in his last trip to the White House, where Trump yelled at Zelensky, he did it again, but this time behind closed doors. Poor Zelensky. That's the summary of the Financial Times article. That's the purpose of this Financial Times article: to portray Trump in a bad light, to portray Alensky in a good light, and to portray a U.S. president that is yelling at Zelensky and that is repeating Russian talking points, right? They say that a whole lot in this article, that Trump is repeating Russian talking points. They say that about five times in this article. So it's very much the picture that they want to paint is what happened when Zelensky was at the White House and they got into a big argument out in the open in front of the media. They want to portray the same thing, the same image, but this time it happened behind closed doors. And according to the Financial Times and their European sources, keep that in mind, these are European sources, according to the FT and these European sources, Trump was very angry with Zelensky, and it told Zelensky, you're going to lose, which is not a lie. It's actually the truth. If this really did happen, that is the truth. But an angry Trump was throwing papers around and throwing maps around and yelling at the poor Green Goblin. And Zelensky, he said that he can't give up territory. You know, he said, I can't give up territory, Mr. President. We need to continue to fight. Please help us fight. But Trump was just yelling at him. And so that's the FT. According to a European official with knowledge of the meeting, Trump said to Zelensky that Putin had told him The conflict was a special operation, not even a war, adding that the Ukrainian leader needed to cut a deal or face destruction. The official said that Trump told Zelensky he was losing the war, warning if Putin wants it, he will destroy you. How would a European official know any of this? How would a European official in Europe, a European official, or even a European official, a diplomat in the United States, how would they know what is going on in a White House, a private, closed-door White House meeting? They wouldn't. This is narrative spin. It's either fake or it's Ukraine calling the Europeans, Zelensky's team that traveled to the United States, calling the Europeans and telling the Europeans, this is what we want you to leak to the media. This is how it went down at the White House using their script writing imagination. They tell the Europeans, this is how it went down in the White House. So this is what we want you to leak to the media. And that's what they're doing. They're leaking all of this to the media. But it is a special military operation. That's true. That is true. But it's Trump, according to Financial Times, buying into Putin's talking points. They say that a lot in this article. At one point in the meeting, the U.S. president threw Ukraine's maps of the battlefield to one side. The officials familiar with the encounter said, how would they know this? How would someone know this if they were not in the room? How would they know that Trump threw maps to one side? This is just nonsense, man. According to the official, Trump said he was sick of seeing the map of the front line of Ukraine again and again. This red line, I don't even know where this is. I've never been there, Trump said, according to the official. Trump also said that Russia's economy is doing great. It is, the official said, in a sharp contrast to his recent public remarks in which he urged Putin to negotiate because the economy is going to collapse. Trump's belligerent repetition of Putin's rhetoric on Friday dashed hopes among many of Ukraine's European allies that he could be convinced to increase support to Kiev. There it is. That paragraph says it all. European propaganda is what this is. Dashed hopes that Trump would give more money to Ukraine, which really means more money to the Europeans, right? That's what this is all about. They dashed hopes. This dashed hopes that more money would go to Project Ukraine, which means going to NATO and Europe and all of that. So that's what they're upset about, the Europeans. And that's why they're coming up with these stories, these narratives, and it's all being leaked to the Financial Times. And it's basically warning Trump, man. It's warning Trump, don't you dare leave Project Ukraine, or else we're going to brand you as a Putin puppet. Like, you haven't heard that a million times before. We're going to say that you're just parroting Putin's propaganda and Putin's talking points, as if we haven't heard that 1,000 times before as well. But anyway, that's the threat that they're pretty much making towards Trump with this article, with this leak. Three other European officials briefed on the White House discussions confirmed that Trump had spent much of the meeting lecturing Zelensky, repeating Putin's arguments about the conflict and urging him to accept the Russian proposal. Zelensky was very negative following the meeting, according to one of the officials, adding that European leaders were not optimistic but pragmatic with planning next steps. Yeah, so Zelensky called up Stube and told him how upset he was that he didn't get the money or the tomahawks or anything like that, or more weapons or whatever. Hey, Mr. Stube, a meeting did not go well. Mr. Trump, he give me no money. What will I do? So yeah, that was Podolyak, though. He is having fun in D.C. Right, Podolyak? Yes, Mr. President. I'm having a great time in the United States of America. Anyway, that was the Financial Times article. By the way, Zelensky said that he feels like he's not welcome in the United States of America. I don't know where this quote came from, but it's going all around social media. So I haven't been able to track down this exact quote where Zelensky says that he feels he's not welcome in the United States, but anyway, that's the quote. He's not welcome in the United States. He feels he feels no longer welcome in the United States. Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate assessment if this quote is true. I don't think the people of the United States of America are welcoming Alensky anymore. But anyway, I'm not 100% on this quote. The Europeans, they are rallying around Alensky, showing their support for the Green Goblin, the Undertaker, the Black Adder, the Dark Knight, the Dark Goblin. I'm trying to figure out the new nickname for Alensky. But anyway, the Europeans, they're fully supporting him. Donald Tusk, he posted on X, "None of us should put pressure on Alensky when it comes to territorial concessions. We should all put pressure on Russia to stop the aggression. Appeasement never was a road to a just and lasting peace." A just and lasting peace means Russian capitulation. Whenever they say those words, they are signaling Russian capitulation. That's what a just and lasting peace means. But Donald Tusk is saying that what needs to be done, his bright idea, is that what needs to be done is no pressure on Ukraine, but pressure on Russia. It's a pretty good idea from Donald Tusk, actually. You see, that's why he's prime minister of Poland and I'm not. It's because he's smart, man. He can figure this stuff out. So his solution is to put pressure on Russia. It's pretty smart, man. I wonder why no one thought of that before, Prime Minister Tusk. I got an idea. Here's a good idea that could put pressure on Russia. How about sanctions? How about European Union sanctions on Russia? Huh? That's a good idea, man. That'll put pressure on Russia. Why didn't anyone think of this before? Man, Donald Tusk coming up with solutions to big problems. So Kaya Kallas, she announced the 19th sanctions package, which will probably be approved this week. Sanctions package number 19. 19? I thought we were on 20. Why was I thinking we're on 20? I'm losing track of the sanctions package number. So we're on 19. And Kallas spoke to the media. She said that she just finished with another EU minister's meeting or something going on with EU foreign ministers or whatever, EU officials. And she said that they've agreed to the sanctions package. She said, unfortunately, it's not going to happen today, but this week it'll be voted on. She also said they're going to take a look at Russia's shadow fleet and figure out ways to stop Russia's shadow fleet. She said that a lot of stuff going on in the world, she said. She's keeping very busy, Kaya Kallas, very busy. Very demanding job being the European Union's top diplomat. She also said that in the Middle East, there's a stress test for the ceasefire in Gaza. I'll get to that later on in the video. And then she said that the EU is continuing to target China, right? Yeah, the EU is very upset with China because she says that China is weaponizing, well, they do have a monopoly, but they're also weaponizing the supply chain.
We are expecting this week also to adopt the 19th package of sanctions. Unfortunately, not today, but we have also a leaders' meeting coming up in Thursday. And then what more can we do also regarding the shadow fleet? We are discussing with the member states how to better coordinate our actions regarding the shadow fleet. Then, of course, the Middle East, the ceasefire held its first stress test. So I think this is a good first phase. But of course, we need to work on what more can we do to have a sustainable peace in the Middle East. And then we have the Indo-Pacific. As you know, we have in November the Indo-Pacific Ministerial coming up, and we are really reaching out to our Indo-Pacific partners, especially considering how China has now weaponized the supply chains, and really this is weaponizing the supply chains is a risk to the global trade. So we will discuss this also.
That's right, China. Man, China's bad, man. Very, very bad, China. You know, the Netherlands seizes Nexperia and China instead of just accepting it as they should. They should just accept it, accept the fact that the Netherlands can seize any company that they want, that the EU can seize any company, any Chinese company in Europe that they want. They should just accept it. But instead, what does China do? They decide to put export controls, right, to the European Union and to the Netherlands from Nexperia's production facilities located in China. China, man, weaponizing supply chains. Next time the European Union seizes one of your companies, China, okay? Next time they seize one of your companies located in the EU, what you're supposed to do is to just accept it, okay? That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to fight back. Got it? Stop weaponizing your supply chain, according to Kaja Kallas. So, by the way, Zelensky, he also put out one of his TikTok videos, and he said after the meeting with Trump and all of the reports about some sort of giving up of territory and something like that, Zelensky said that, if you believe those reports, Zelensky said that he's not going to give up anything, is what he said. But he's ready to meet Trump, ready to meet Trump and Putin in Budapest, right? And Europe also wants to go to Budapest. They also want someone at the meeting. So Zelensky said he's not going to give up any territory. He's not going to give up anything. We will give nothing to Russia, he said in his TikTok video. And he also, and the Europeans, and he also said he wants to go to Budapest, and the Europeans said that they want to go to Budapest as well. So everyone wants to go to Budapest now to sit in at the meeting. the vassals and the puppet want a seat at the table. Yeah, not going to happen. It's going to be Putin, Trump, and Orban, as it should be. Anyway, Trump was asked about the meeting at the White House and whether all the reporting is true about Putin demanding Donetsk or Donbass, and if it's true about Trump yelling at poor Zelensky. He yelled at me. Podolyak, why this man yell at me? If it was true about Trump yelling at him, evil Trump, bad Trump, yelling at poor Zelensky, and Trump said, nah, no, 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 this is true. but Trump did say that his ideal situation, his ideal solution to the conflict in Ukraine is to just stop everything at the front line, just freeze everything, and everyone can go home, he said, and that's that. That's what Trump would like to see. Just a quick solution to the conflict. We stop where we are, and everyone can just go home. That's what he told the media on Air Force One. He said, let it be cut the way it is. It's cut up right now. I think 78% of the land is already taken by Russia. They can negotiate something later on down the line.
Yeah, Friday, you said you had a cordial meeting with President Zelensky. During that meeting, did you tell him he needed to cede all of the Donbass region to Russia?
No, we never discussed it. We think that what they should do is just stop at the lines where they are, the battle lines. You have a battle line right now. The rest is very tough to negotiate. If you're going to say, you take this, we take that, you know, there's so many different permutations. So what I say is they should stop right now at the battle lines. Go home, stop killing people, and be done.
What do you think should happen with the Donbass region then?
Let it be cut the way it is. It's cut up right now. I think 78% of the land is already taken by Russia. You leave it the way it is right now. They can negotiate something later on down the line. But I said cut and stop at the battle line. Go home, stop fighting, stop killing people.
Yeah, Trump just wants to... Let's get into the shade. Trump just wants to be done with this, right? He just wants a temporary ceasefire, something to last for 6 months or a year or 3 years, whatever. Get him through the midterms, maybe get him through his presidency. This is the same model that you could say he employed with the conflict, with the war in Gaza, right? Between Hamas and Israel. And just get a ceasefire in place, the 20-point peace plan. And everyone understands that the conflict is going to start up again in the future. But, you know, you get a temporary pause. And Trump can say that he stopped a war, right? Another war. So he can do the same thing with Russia and Ukraine. get them to pause, to stop, ceasefire, whatever, wherever they are on the front lines. They all go home, and then this can be negotiated later on, which is not going to satisfy Russia. Russia wants root causes to be addressed. Period. They're not looking for a temporary ceasefire or anything like that. So they are still very far off. If you go by what Trump is saying to the media, if you go by these statements and what Putin and Russia are saying, they're still very, very far off as far as how they see some sort of a deal in the conflict in Ukraine. So they have a couple of weeks to bridge those gaps. But that's what Trump said on Air Force One. And Fitzo, he issued a statement about what goes on during the EU summit meetings. And Fitzo, the leader of Slovakia, he said that that we have these summit meetings in the European Union. And he says it's Ukraine, money for Ukraine, loans for Ukraine, weapons for Ukraine. Maybe if we have time, then EU competitiveness. That's what Fitzo said. It's just basically all Ukraine. Ukraine, 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 money for Ukraine, money to Zelensky, weapons to Zelensky, weapons to Ukraine, Russia bad, Putin bad. And then maybe towards the end of the meeting, a couple of minutes is dedicated to the European Union, to competitiveness, right? That's what Fitzo said during his statement. So interesting admission, revelation from Fitzo. And yesterday, I think we got another boat that was annihilated in the Caribbean. This would make it the seventh boat that has been destroyed in the Caribbean, with three people being killed on board this boat, which the Pentagon and the Department of War, they claim that this boat was smuggling drugs for Colombian rebels. It was the seventh known strike in President Trump's military campaign of attacking rather than arresting those suspected of running drugs in the Caribbean. At this time, we're talking about a Colombian rebels smuggling drugs. We're not talking about Venezuelan drug smugglers, allegedly. Now we're talking about Colombia. And at the time of the annihilation, the announcement of the annihilation of this boat, I believe the boat was destroyed on the 17th or the 18th, but they announced it yesterday, the Department of War. So as this was announced by Hegseth and his Department of War, Trump posted on Truth Social a very angry post towards Colombia and President Gustavo Petro. And I will read you what Trump posted on Truth Social. President Gustavo Petro of Colombia is an illegal drug leader, strongly encouraging the massive production of drugs in big and small fields all over Colombia. It has become the biggest business in Colombia by far, and Petro does nothing to stop it, despite large-scale payments and subsidies from the USA that are nothing more than a long-term ripoff of America. As of today, these payments or any other form of payment or subsidies will no longer be made to Colombia. The purpose of this drug production is the sale of massive amounts of product into the United States, causing death, destruction, and havoc. Petro, a low-rated and very unpopular leader with a fresh mouth towards America, better close up these killing fields immediately, or the United States will close them up for him, and it won't be done nicely. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. Keep in mind that Petro, during the UN General Assembly meeting that took place a couple of weeks ago, had his visa revoked by the Department of State, Marco Rubio, because of what he was saying against Netanyahu in Israel. During Netanyahu's speech, Petro was protesting, and he said something along the lines of, if I remember correctly, towards the U.S. military that was there, or U.S. Police officers, or something like that. They were at the protest where Petro was speaking, and he told them to defect or to turn against the government or something like that. And and Marco Rubio, he then revoked Petro's U.S. visa, the president of Colombia. So anyway, that happened a couple of weeks ago. I talked about it in a video update. But very vocal, the Colombian president against Netanyahu and against Israel and the genocide in Gaza. So he's been very, very outspoken about that. He got his visa revoked. And now Trump is talking about Petro and Colombia and the drug trade. And he's threatening Colombia. So he's actually threatening Colombia, which he doesn't need to do, to be quite honest, because if the border is closed and secured, then all the United States really has to do, if they believe that Colombia is involved in the drug trade, is just stop the money. That's it. You don't need to do anything else. I mean, if you have your border already secured, if nothing's getting in, right, then all you have to do is just stop the subsidies and just leave it there, man. You don't have to do anything more. Right? So anyway, that's the situation there. And that takes us to the ceasefire in Gaza, which is being tested. It is being tested, and cracks are showing already in the 20-point peace plan, phase one of the ceasefire. Now, Israel claims Hamas violated the ceasefire. Israel is now launching operations against Hamas in Gaza because they're saying they violated the ceasefire. And it looks like the first cracks, the first big visible cracks in this very fragile ceasefire are starting to show. Israeli security minister calls for return to war in Gaza. Ben-Gvir's demands come after Israel accused Hamas of violating the ceasefire brokered earlier this month. Here is what Ben-Gvir said. I call on the prime minister to order the IDF to renew full-scale fighting in the Strip at full strength, Gvir said in a statement on Sunday. The false belief that Hamas will change its ways or will even abide by the agreement it signed is proving to be dangerous to our security. The Nazi terrorist organization must be destroyed completely, and the sooner the better. So that is the statement from Ben-Gvir. So I think if I had to say what's going to happen, which is hard to predict, I would say that they'll find a way, the Trump administration will find a way to keep the 20-point peace plan going for a little bit longer. I don't know how much longer, but they'll find a way. And we'll go through more stress tests, as Kaya Kallas put it, more stress tests of the ceasefire and the 20-point peace plan. Eventually, the cracks will just be too many and it'll fall apart. I don't know how long this will last or how many tests the ceasefire can take until it just completely falls apart. But I think we're seeing the first big test of the peace plan. And keep in mind, we're only on phase one. We haven't even started on the difficult part, which is Hamas disarming and phase two of the peace plan. So anyway, that's that. And I guess I think that's everything. Oh, like the video. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. And yeah, that's it. Subscribe to the channel, like the video. Man, I'm not good at that stuff. Anyway, let's do a clown world and we can wrap this video up. Yesterday, Trump posted a lot of memes. Not his memes, but he posted these memes. Or maybe he created these memes, I don't know. With AI, it's hard to tell anymore. But anyway, the one meme that I talked about yesterday during the No Kings protests was fine. Trump wearing the Burger King hat and Pelosi kneeling down to King Trump. The funny part about that meme was that Vance posted it on Blue Sky, which is the Democrat ex-clone platform. And okay, fine, no worries there. A bit of trolling from the vice president, a harmless meme. But yesterday's meme that Trump pinned on Truth Social That one, I think, was a bit too much. Definitely, in my opinion, is a bit too much. This one should not have been posted, if you want my opinion, because you shouldn't have the President of the United States in a fighter jet, which is what this meme was. He's in a fighter jet, and he has his Burger King hat on, and he's dropping, some people say it's poop, but it looks more like dirt, if you want. Throughout my opinion, on American citizens, on protesters, even if they are protesting you, they still are American citizens, and you are their president. And this was not a good look. Should not have been posted by Trump on Truth Social and pinned to his account, but there it is. I'm not going to play the video, actually. I'll put screenshots of the video, but I'm not going to play the video because I don't know. I don't know. I really don't like this video, to be quite honest. I'm not a fan of this meme. But anyway, that is this AI generated video. Anyway, that is today's video. The Duran.locals.com, Telegram, Rumble X. That's where you can find me. We are also now on Substack. Just look for the Duran on Substack and you will find us there. Alexander posted the first article, the first full article on Substack. That article also gets posted on Locals as well. So all of the articles that we are now writing or that we are planning to write will be on theduran.locals.com, and you can also find them on Substack as well. So I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.